Members and everyone in the room will call the meeting of the Committee on Veterans, Committee on Agriculture, Rural Economies, Veterans Affairs, Finance to order. First on the agenda is to look at the minutes of March 25th. Representative Hamilton moves approval of those minutes.
Don't move, that
was
birthday.
Was it?
Yeah.
And there were no treats here?
No, I wasn't my birthday.
He was in mourning.
I would ask staff to correct the minutes to point out that it was Representative Hamilton's birthday and no treats were offered. So if you would add that to the minutes, and we'll vote on that.
I don't think he has any memory.
Okay, you don't say no treats were offered, but do amend them to say that it was Representative Hamilton's birthday. That was pointed out in committee now. So.
Here, I'm going to make a call and get some treats.
Yeah. All those in favor of the amended minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passed. Members are waiting for our researcher from the House Republicans who has some more amendments, but we do have some to start with, and if he's not here, and we need Representative Hansen, if someone to go get him, because he's got an amendment here too. We'll get started while we got it, but I don't think a lot of this is controversial, so hopefully people can get moving. What we'll do is start, and if we don't have them, we'll just lay the bill aside and pick it up again when we'll run through what we got here, and we'll certainly not adjourn until we have everyone that wants an amendment considered before us. So right now, I will move House File 3981, recommend it to pass and be referred to the Committee on Finance, and then I'd move the DE1. 3981 DE1, delete everything one. That's the bill we actually presented yesterday. So this will get the bill in the shape we need it so we can then proceed with the amendments. Any questions on the DE1? Seeing none, all those in favor of the DE1, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That is passed. So now we have the amended bill with the DE1 in front of us. I'll do the A2 first. That's really easy. I'll move that one. That was just correcting the or to ands. Well, that's not for this one, is it? 3981. Is it? Is it? Okay. All right. That's to correct the or to ands and all throughout the bill so that it goes to both the policy and the finance committees if there's two of them. Any questions on that?
A2.
Everywhere where we put that oversight language, we want to make sure it gets to both Representative Otremba and my committee, if there's two committees, or in the Senate, it's one committee, so it doesn't matter there. But any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A2, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That's adopted. Is this one ready to go? That's okay. All right, I got another one, A4. Again, working with the department, rather than doing just an overall cut, we decided it'd be better to direct that cut to certain areas on their advice, and so this just simply takes the Ag Department. Is that in this bill, too?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm confusing the bills here. There's so much rider language in both of them. All right. The A4 just simply directs where the 302 that you see in 1.20 is coming from. And again, I consult the department on this. They're okay with that. Any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That's adopted. Representative Magnus, I believe you have something.
Yes, sir. I do, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure where we're going to put it. It's in page one or two, I suppose. But
Representative Magnus moves the A1 amendment. Does staff have any direction on this yet?
Mr. Sullivan will point it to the right direction, I think. Yeah, Mr. Chair and members, I think the proper location for this amendment would be in the Board of Animal Health section, which is section 3 of the H3981 DE1 amendment. I would probably go at the end after page 3, line 2.
Page 3 after line 2. Representative Magnus would incorporate that into his amendment. Representative Magnus, to your amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What's happened with this is I've got a cattle producer down in the southern part of the state that bought cattle out of a certified TB-free state and came back in, and lo and behold, that herd in another state got came up as having TB. So these folks had to go through the whole process. Tested their cattle. Two of them tested positive. They took those two up to the lab and destroyed them and tested them again there and find out they were false positive. In the meantime, these folks had been quarantined and couldn't move their feeder cattle and were not able to get any cattle off the farm, and so they had to buy feed to feed those cattle. And what happened since that time was the cattle market dropped, and of course the corn market took off, and so these poor folks did nothing wrong, and so here they're sitting with the market turned around on them in just an isolated case and caught in a spot. So we're asking for $12,000 to help them out with some of the feed they needed to buy.
Okay. Any questions, members, to the amendment? Representative Faust.
I have a question as far as the financial side of this. Where does the money come from if we do this? Do we have that much money someplace or not?
Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Faust, we're asking the Board of Animal Health to find it. We put it in that section.
So, Representative Faust, it's a rider language under the Board of Animal Health appropriation.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Faust, they don't really have the authority to pay this money out under the current rules that they have now for market fluctuations. So if you get caught in something like this, the Board of Animal Health has no way to remedy that. These folks, we're paid for the two cattle that were destroyed, and that's not the dispute they have. They've been, don't have any problems with that. It's just that they were caught in a bad spot, so no fault of their own.
And Representative Magnus, I'm fine with this amendment. If there's changes need to be made with Board of Animal Health or language as we move forward, we have Finance Committee, and we have probably Ways and Means Committee, and we have Conference Committee, so we can continue to work. But it's just we're not adding or subtracting. It's just reappropriating some of that fund. Representative Welty.
Thank you, Chair Junkie. And Representative Magnus, I think this is a good amendment to bring forward, but if someone is here from the Board of Animal Health, I'd just like to find out how many cases similar to this come up each year where the herd may have to be tested, and I just want to kind of get an idea of anticipated costs in the future. If we move forward on this, what's to say another producer may not come forward, or many producers may not come forward? So I just want to make sure that we don't have a bunch of producers in a similar situation that could...
Board of Animal Health, want to come up? I see their legislative liaison is in the audience. Representative Welty has a question. Welcome to the committee. Why don't you repeat the question, Representative Welty?
Chair Junkie and to Ms. Cheney, I'm just wondering, do we have any other producers that may have similar circumstances that have arisen where they could qualify $4 or they could come forward in the future years to obtain money from the state?
Please introduce yourself for the team.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Welty, my name is Quinn Cheney. I'm with the Minnesota Department of Agriculture and the Board of Animal Health. I have to admit that I don't know the answer to your question. I am waiting for somebody from the Board of Animal Health to arrive that can perhaps offer further technical details on that. We have not had the authority to do this prior to now. I really don't know the answer.
Okay. Well, we'll get an answer then. No problem. Thank you. Any other questions, members? I think we're okay to move this now again. We'll work on any of this as it goes forward. You know us. We just want to go along, get along. That's our committee. So
Any other questions? Seeing none, Magnus renews his motion that A1 be adopted as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That is adopted. Representative Hansen has an amendment. Representative Hansen moves the A5 amendment. Representative Hansen, to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I apologize, I was in another committee and had a couple bills up. So the A5 amendment we had talked about, I think in an earlier committee, this is looking at the Gopher State ethanol, where we have a facility that is no longer producing ethanol. And I think that in talking with a number of members, but also with constituents, I think that this is something where the producer payments, I understand the idea of making commitments, but when there's no longer a drop of ethanol being produced, we should discontinue the payments. With the, I think there have been Attorney General's opinions that without statute, the commissioner cannot unilaterally cease the payment, so it would take statutory action. So A5 reduces, eliminates that, discontinues that payment to an ethanol producer that has ceased operations and declared bankruptcy in 2004. That's $310,000, and then it it thought about reducing below the base, but I know that there have been has been discussion about increased needs for groundwater monitoring. So to make it balance, I put the $310,000 into groundwater monitoring, which have been generally funded, not dedicated funded in the past.
Okay. Questions? Representative Olin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I would like to make an oral amendment to that because I think there's a bigger problem in this, in our agriculture department than groundwater right now, and that's the bovine tuberculosis. I'd like to take that $310,000 and put it into the bovine tuberculosis because I'm still looking for a whole lot more money than we found right now, and it's $310,000 sitting here with absolutely no reason not to go there.
Representative Hansen?
I would oppose the amendment. I think that we have made, I would oppose the amendment to my amendment. I think that we have, we are funding elsewhere in the bill, bovine TB, and I think that part of our responsibility here is to take and make decisions on what can be funded. I think the groundwater monitoring is something that is a need. There have been certainly groundwater issues raised regarding ethanol, and so I think monitoring is a good use for the general fund dollars.
Representative Finstad.
Yeah.
Oh. Who wants to go?
I'll go.
Representative Olin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to point out for those of you that are wondering whether the $2 million that you put in this bovine TB really takes care of the problem. You better be prepared to find me an additional $10 million somewhere. Because this $2 million, if the state thinks is going to take care of this problem, is going to leave this state in a very dire condition in not too many months. So contrary to what Representative Hansen's saying, this $310,000 is badly needed in that area.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hansen.
Again, the amendment, the full amendment, is on ethanol producer payments. I think that keeping the ethanol producer payment, as I've suggested, you're mixing kind of apples and oranges by taking those general funds for additional bovine TB. So I would oppose the amendment.
Representative
Finstad. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Owen. I support the oral amendment to direct this money to TB for a very simple and maybe too simplistic reason, but that is we have an opportunity as this Ag Committee to send a message as this bill goes to finance and to the floor where our priorities are. And what we're doing right now is we're saying, you know what, we were able to restructure the ethanol payment and save $310,000, but it'll be our priority to put this towards water monitoring versus the crisis we have going on and up in his district and, quite frankly, in the entire ag sector of this state. I think it sends a poor message that, as an ag committee, so I would support this and say that any nickels and dimes that we can find to get to that $6-7 million amount, which we're told is needed above and beyond the $2 million, is worth it. So I would support Representative Mullen's amendment.
And before we go any further, staff is going to need to talk about this amendment and how to make it work, because it's in two different funds at this point. So, I mean, where the bill is, it's not under the Board of Animal Health Section 3 appropriation. That's where they want to move that money out of the Ag Department and into Board of Animal Health. Can you suggest some language that'll do that? They're pointing fingers at each other.
Mr. Chair and members, I think we can redirect that money pretty easily if we amend the A5 amendment. After line 7, just insert page 3 after line 2, and then we go down under 1.9 and strike that line and put in bovine tuberculosis control activities, something to that effect. Okay. I think I would do it.
We'll let the staff work on that, but that's what the amendment will say. That's the Olin amendment. Representative Hansen and then Doty.
I would just kind of like to refer to members that there are a lot of members who don't want any more ethanol producer payments. And this is a compromise effort to try to deal with Gopher State Ethanol, which is not producing any more drops of ethanol. So if Representative Olin wants more money, I'm sure he can find other members who would suggest eliminating all ethanol producer payments and transferring a large sum of money to bovine TB. That would be the precedent that you would be setting in this committee, and could easily be amended on the floor. So I just would maybe raise that as an opportunity.
Representative Doty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hansen, in an earlier discussion with folks whose names I don't remember, we were discussing Gopher State, and in their description to me, this had gone not to an attorney general's opinion, like you said, but to the Supreme Court. I didn't bother checking anything because it was an informal discussion. Has it gone to court, or do we only have the attorney general's opinion to worry about here?
Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, Representative Doty. What I've seen is the attorney general's opinion. Now, Gopher State Ethanol has gone to bankruptcy court, and so it's out of production, does not exist. But my understanding of the payment question, that was a 2004, I believe, AG's opinion. That's what I've
seen. And the discussion was around their payment, and that was the context in which they referred to court. So I think before we move, we'd want to be pretty sure that we aren't doing something against the court decision.
Any other questions? Mr. Reinhold.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to be clear on the amendment. This amendment it doesn't say one time only anywhere, so I'm interpreting the $310,000 increase on Representative Hansen's amendment to be permanent, so it would be carried forward in tails, which would mean that the $310,000 reduction would also be permanent, need to be permanent and go forth in tails to the ethanol program in order for the bill to stay balanced.
Well, Mr. Reinholdt, and to Representative Olin, I assume you just want one-time money here, this year only. Otherwise, we do erode that fund. Remember, members, I mean, I'm happy to talk about it. We have locked in through past, I think when David was chairing here or whoever was, we have locked in that roughly $15 million we have left in that fund, and as ethanol producer payments come off, that's money that will be available for all our accounts, whether it's veterans or whether it's Board of Animal Health, whether it's money that's available for this committee to expend. So I guess I'm just pointing out, and I don't think it was your intent to take that permanently over there. You're looking to address the issue now.
Mr. Chairman, I would assume that this is a one-time fund situation. I'm not saying this will take care of the problem, but this is one-time is the only way I was
so
looking at it.
Staff can develop language that says it's one-time only.
Mr. Chairman, we would do that after 1.9 on the original amendment. make that one time only too then. It would just be language, just a one time only appropriation.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How much longer are these producer payments in effect?
Well, again, we can have staff, but my recollection, obviously some have already come off. We used to have $30 million. We're down to $15 million. We've locked that in. Over the next 4 years, roughly, they're all gone.
Okay. Well, Representative Hanson.
Every year.
Representative Hanson just said 2013.
This particular one, okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Representative Finstad.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And not by any means at all to debate staff, but maybe I'm reading this wrong, but line 1.4 says $310,000 is a reduction in fiscal year 2009. So to me, that would say that's a one-time reduction, but then also in the amendment, if we can just use that exact same language, it would say one-time appropriation.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Finstad, the tails are determined by the budget rules by appropriations in the second year of the biennium, which in this case is 2009. So making it a reduction in this language automatically makes a reduction in the tails.
I get it.
Perfect.
Yep. Okay. Mr. Chair.
Not that we ever debate staff.
No.
Representative Finstad.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would I'd ask for a roll call on this oral amendment.
Representative Hanson.
Mr. Chair. Would Representative Olin, if he's looking for one-time money, and now we have this question of tails, is he open to having the 310 for fiscal year 09 and then the tails going to groundwater monitoring?
Representative Olin. We're hearing compromise here.
I guess, Representative Hanson, Mr. Chairman, the problem would be I'm looking at this 310 as a one-time thing. I don't know that there should be any tails existing on it, but if there are tails existing, I don't think the bovine TV problem is going to go in one way in 2009 either.
All right. So it's the way it is right now. Representative Hamilton.
So thank you, Mr. Chair. And that was the point that I wanted to make. Is there a way that we could keep this money to be allocated for the TB issue until 2013, until it runs out?
Well, Representative Hamilton, we can do that. Otherwise, we're here next year with our full budget, and that money will be available if this prevails and the courts rule that we're okay. So, I mean, it'll be available in that pot as things shrink, and this would be a shrinkage of $310 million a year, except the last year is less. But Representative Hanson?
Chairman Junkie, you know, I can count. So I'm going to withdraw the amendment, and I'll deal with it on the floor. And it'll probably be different.
Okay. Representative Hanson withdraws his amendment. Representative Finstad.
Mr. Chair, I personally don't take kindly to threats, so I welcome the fight, and I welcome the discussion we can have on the House floor. Is there anybody from that's going to be directly affected by this this amendment? Corn producers, Ethanol Coalition, anybody that wants to testify on this amendment to give us a little direction outside of what we're trying to do here? I understand what Representative Hanson is doing, and I appreciate it. I just want to know, is there any real-life stories going on, or are we just going to do this? And
anyone brave enough to want to come down on this amendment? No one's jumped. And by the way, if there's anyone that has comments on any amendment, you know, kind of hang out down at the end of the table, and we're happy to accommodate some minimal discussion on amendments. We don't want to go, but, you know, we're happy to have folks come down. You just have to let us know. Here comes the corn growers. And members, I do support the Hanson idea. I think it behooves us to quit paying non-ethanol producers. And I do support more money for TB also, but it's broader than that. And we know that we're looking maybe for 6 or 7 or 10. We don't know. There are activities going on with the federal government to try and address that. Obviously, Representative Olin and Senator Scoy are talking to fiscal people. In fact, Representative Olin sits next to the chair of Ways and Means on the floor, so I know he's working very closely with him to try. We just don't have $10 million here, obviously, or we're going to have to take it out of veterans and agriculture, and that's not his intent. You know, we were given a target, and this came up after we were given that target, frankly. So, you know, we're all concerned. We want to, obviously, we're all going to advocate to do the bovine TB, whatever we need to do. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the tape.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Valerie Jarek, and I represent the Minnesota Corn Growers Association and a group of ethanol plants. We wouldn't have a problem with you taking money that would be directed toward that St. Paul plant if the Attorney General's opinion allows that to happen. It's not money that would be directed toward the other ethanol plants. We wouldn't want you to see you dip into any of that or any of the deficiency payments, but on a one-time, we'd prefer this to be one-time only. It's money that would have gone to the St. Paul plant bankruptcy, and it's not money that our plants would have accessed anyway. So we don't have a problem with this. We never really supported the St. Paul plant.
Representative Hamilton has a question.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Derek, if you'd like to comment, what's your thoughts about totally discontinue the ethanol payment plans, which was proposed here a little bit earlier?
We would oppose that strongly.
Thank you.
Very strongly.
So would we. Representative Heigerkin.
Thank you. Again, I think that we have an amendment here that we know is going to come back later, and I have some concerns about the budget of the Ag Department. I think we have an opportunity to capture some of these funds right now. We have a bonding a bill going forth that I thought a lot more money, Representative Hansen, should have been earmarked towards groundwater monitoring, et cetera, instead of $70 million for hockey arenas. I agree with you, we need to do something, but I'm more concerned about the very, very small budget that we got to play with in Ag. I would like to see the money go to Representative Olin's district immediately and continue to go there until he doesn't need any more. If it's going to be 4 or 5 years, it's going to be one big leg on the way. And if after that, we might have joint disease, might have anything else come up again. But I think we're always scrappy for money here, and Representative Johnson, you know that better than I do. You've been here longer than I have. There's always been a fight for dollars, and I think there's an opportunity to capture some dollars here. We should do that before it goes elsewhere.
Okay. Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, Representative Heidegger, last night I stayed here till 11 o'clock working on the environmental finances, and I would just note that the agriculture sector had an increase in the budget cutting. And in the areas that I worked in the budgets I was responsible for, we had met the governor's budget and doubled the cuts in the tails. So in the environmental finance with DNR, PCA, and Bowser, you had a net reduction equal to the governor's in meet the existing budget shortfall and doubling with the tails. So, you know, I know the times are tight, but I would note that in this committee, the overall finances are in the plus side, whereas in, I believe, in healthcare, higher education, almost every other sector in the budget, they're in the red side, they're in the negative side. So, you know, what we were trying to do here with the amendment that's been pulled was to balance that out and not have it go into more in the red for agriculture. What Representative Olin's amendment did was take it from the agriculture and put it into the Board of Animal Health. So just, again, agriculture is on the plus side in the budget cuts. Many, many other areas are in the negative side.
Representative Heiger can follow up.
Yeah, to that, you gotta remember though that the agriculture is the engine that still drives a lot of the economy in the state. It's not a, as you might say, a parasite to the state. It's not taking money away. It's not a government entity that we're giving to. So this is an industry, whether it be we gave Northwest a ton of money here not very long ago. We've given other industries a lot of money. But here we have a very, very, very serious issue happening within the livestock sector in the state of Minnesota. We need to take care of that before we lose it, because the whole state will lose a lot of money because of it if we don't.
Representative Peterson and Olin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I support this Hansen Amendment as is, and I wonder if he would not withdraw it. And the reason is that, you know, ethanol in the 90s, when we went to E10, and we had to beat back a lot of the propaganda from the oil companies at that time. And we've seen a resurgence just in the last whatever amount of time you've been watching it, this same sort of spin in a different way, that ethanol and corn ethanol, all corn ethanol is bad. And one of the targets is groundwater. I think if you throw them a bone and said we're going to monitor groundwater, and then that would prove that ethanol is a good steward of groundwater. We could beat back some of those false arguments coming from public relations firms that oil companies hire to make corn ethanol look bad. Because I represent the ethanol district in the ethanol plant in the state that uses the least amount of water for every gallon produced, has a biomass gasifier, makes vodka, makes organic rubbing alcohol for Aveda, completely diversified their plant, decided not to double their expansion, and has money in the bank. And that's an example that I think people in the state of Minnesota need to know about before they just badmouth ethanol because it's supposed to be taking all the groundwater out of the ground. So if we actually monitored it and proved that we are good stewards of groundwater, we could fight off some of this PR machine similar to that tortilla prices going up in rural Mexico lie that they claimed corn ethanol in America was causing. So I do think it's probably a good PR move for corn ethanol to prove that groundwater is not being wasted. So it might be an opportunity. And of your millions of dollars you need for TB, I think the chair has indicated there might be other places you can get it at a higher dollar amount. Maybe, if Solberg Sykes talks to you. Just a different way to approach it, I would think.
Before Olin, I'd like either Bozicki or Martin or Cheney to come to the table who can talk about groundwater monitoring activities halfway logically for him. And Representative Olin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'd like to correct Representative Hansen. I realize the Board of Animal Health may be the entity that's getting this money, but the last time I checked, cattle are a direct part of the Department of Agriculture, and the end result here is taking care of a cattle producer problem or a cattle problem, not necessarily giving money to Board of Animal Health to just spend.
Cattle are agriculture, that is true. Representative, sorry, I always do that to you. Mr. Bozicki, this amendment says $310,000, the amendment that we're not on anymore, says $310,000 in fiscal year 2009 is for increased groundwater monitoring activities. Representative Peterson indicated maybe it'd be a good idea to monitor groundwater levels by ethanol plants. Is that something you do now or could do or would do? Or can you talk about if you had $310,000 into groundwater monitoring activities, what you would do with it?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Greg Bozicki. I'm with the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. Mr. Chairman, we do not monitor groundwater level statewide. That's the DNR Division of Waters that does that activity. We do have a set of groundwater monitoring both on a long-term basis and occasional basis in certain wells. When we do that, if we're using monitoring wells, which we frequently do, we measure groundwater levels at that time, so we've got a bit of experience. Mr. Chairman, the $300,000, if that were to be focused on pesticide and nutrient monitoring activities, more than likely what we would do is expand our groundwater monitoring system. We would put more wells into place. We would increase our laboratory capabilities to look at more degradants and some of the things that are emerging.
Okay. Representative Heigerken.
Thank you. And, you know, I still have some major concerns here of moving money out of the Ag Department into another department. That bothers me very, very, very much, and I think we have to look at this very seriously. I know Representative Tremba and I did battle in finance, the bonding bill. We had a landfill out there in Representative Tremba's district that is in a process of burning garbage and it producing steam and everything else. But the bonding bill, the bonding commission didn't think that was important enough. That they thought it was more important to give it to hockey arenas. So I'm just saying that here's a chance to clean up the environment and to get some of this contamination out of our groundwater, but yet that was turned down. And it was a very important industry, I know, in Representative Tremba's district. They wanted to do an expansion out there. But that said, I think we have to be very careful. We need to protect. I don't like to see the DNR get any more money out of the Ag Department than they're already getting.
Well, Representative Heigerk, on this amendment would give it to the Department of Agriculture. Mr. Bezicki would add more wells for pesticide monitoring. DNR does the water level monitoring, so we're not giving it to them, for sure. We're not sending money to DNR. That's from this committee, anyway. Representative Hansen.
Again, Chairman Junkie and Representative Olin, I would be willing to work with you on trying to find some additional dollars for bovine TB. I understand the need there. I would, you know, I think that Mr. Bezicki has talked about they could expand the program, and Mr. Bezicki, the general fund dollars for groundwater monitoring have been up and down based on the budget cycle. You really have some years you get some money, some years you don't. Is that correct?
Mr. Bezicki.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hansen, that is correct. There actually is some general fund dollars that we've tried to maintain over the years from the Groundwater Act back in 89. I believe that's down to about $200,000 totally. It's about half of what it was originally. We've been supplementing that to the best we can with pesticide regulatory dollars and occasionally some EPA grants.
And so, Chairman Junkie, Mr. Bezicki, so you've had to cut back your water monitoring, and we had heard earlier about waste pesticides. Those are funded off the Ag Fund with pesticide regulatory dollars. So there's only so many pesticide regulatory account dollars there. So it's constricting the groundwater monitoring to get the scientific and accurate data that's needed when looking at regulating pesticides.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hansen, that's correct. We have a lot of demands on that account, and we find that we can do less than we would like to do, and certainly less than we are asked to do on many occasions.
Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, I would again ask Representative Olin, I would work with you to try to see if we can get some additional dollars. I would just ask if I reintroduce A5 here, if we could let that go as it is, and then you know, I would talk with Chairman Solberg or other folks to try to see what we can do for bovine TB. I understand the need, but I would ask if you would be willing to let this go on as it is.
Let me just interject something before you talk, Olin, Representative Olin. If we don't do this today in some form, I will guarantee everyone that Representative Paymar will be offering it in finance, because he's the one working with Representative Hansen on this, and he emailed me on it. He's always wanted to cut the whole program, and I said, well, maybe we can cut a little bit for you and appease you on it. So I do think it's going to be reoffered, so I hope we can decide as a committee here rather than letting Finance Committee decide where the dollars are going to go, at least for now. And, you know, again, certainly we have finance, we have ways and means, we do have the floor, and we do have Conference Committee to discover money for water monitoring or TB or anywhere else. You know, I'd rather you all made the decision here with us, and I don't think this is a party line thing at all either. In fact, I can't even guess how this event will turn out right now. So, Representative Olin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To be perfectly honest, I'm having a little problem dealing with games being played with bills I've had throughout this session, so I'm not too inclined to want to be friendly at this time to Representative Hansen's idea.
Okay. All right, there's no amendment. Representative Hamilton.
Help me out on the process here. I was wondering, since this amendment was withdrawn, could I offer the A5 amendment as amended by Olin? And ask for a roll call vote.
You can rewrite the amendment and offer it as a new amendment. So what you would want to do is rewrite it with that language. Yeah, and then it would be a new amendment.
Okay.
It wouldn't be the same amendment.
All right, thank you.
No, we haven't adopted any. Well, the whole amendment was withdrawn. Any other questions to that, members? Obviously, there's an amendment being worked on. It's the last amendment I think we have for this bill. We'll wait half a minute here. Mr. Chairman. Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've been talking to folks from the Board of Animal Health and to Mr. Sullivan also, and with the A1 amendment, a little bit of clarification. I don't know if I should move to reconsider the amendment to make the changes, or you just want to make them a couple of technical changes, really.
What are they, Representative Magnus?
I would add the word beef between on line 1.5.
Okay, let's
beef cattle.
Representative Magnus moves to reconsider the A1 amendment as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Now the A1 can be offered.
Yes.
A1 is before us offered by Representative Magnus as amended, page 3, line 2, and he would offer the following oral amendment.
I would, on line 1.5, I would insert the word beef between A and cattle. It would be a grant to a beef cattle producer. To my knowledge, it's the only herd this affects in the state, so that's what we want to do is narrow it down. And also, Mr. Chairman, I would like to take the money from the Board of Animal Health indemnity account. They have an account there that should be where this money is accessed.
So staff can have that language somewhere in that paragraph?
It would be up to $12,000 in fiscal year from the indemnity account. So after 2009, I would add from the indemnity account for a one-time grant.
The staff, does that work? Fiscal staff, does that work?
Mr. Chairman, I would have to ask the department. I'm not certain if there... I don't have that kind of data with me on if there's any dollars available in that account.
Can the department come up and answer anything on that account?
Mr. Chair, before we get...
Representative Heigerkin, while they're
thank
coming
you,
up.
Thank you. To the amendment, I have a problem with it. If you say beef cattle... I have very few beef cattle in my district. I got a lot of dairy. And I think that you're going to get into a gray area there. Probably Colby here or somebody could clarify if we did beef, but that leaves dairy out.
What, Mr. Sullivan?
Mr. Chair, Representative Heigerkin, yes, it would.
Welcome to the committee. The question was, is there money in the indemnity account to cover up to $12,000 to either of you? Introduce yourself.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm Jane Rankin with the Department of Finance. I'm an executive budget officer in Ag and Board of Animal Health in some of my accounts. I know I talked with the Board of Animal Health budget folks last week and have checked, and as of yet, none of the $100,000 appropriation has been spent. That's because the statute that sets it up says that it's last dollar out, and they have been using federal funds to pay the indemnity claims that they have gotten so far. So there is money in the account. I would suggest to research staff that they might need to add to this rider a provision to say notwithstanding that section of statute, because I'm not sure that the statute right now would allow the $12,000 to be paid.
Staff have that? Mr. Sullivan?
Mr. Chair, members, I don't know the statute to reference exactly. I did make a note. We could try to find that now, or we could put that in when you give us instructions at the end of the committee to make all technical and small changes necessary to reflect the will of the committee.
Okay. We'll do that. Any other questions? Representative Magnus, to Representative Heigerkin's concern.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just trying to narrow this down to just cover that one herd of the. Again, these are folks that went to another state, fully intending, you know, a certified TB-free state to buy cattle, and they no intention of bringing TB cattle, contaminated cattle, back into the state. Once that herd in the other state triggered this test, they had to go get their cattle tested and go through the whole process and got caught in that deal. So,
okay. That's all right. Heigerkin, fine. Any other questions, members? We'll have staff put it together and make corrections later, but you heard the Magnus Oil Amendment. He's incorporated that into the A1 amendment. Any questions to the A1 amendment? Representative Magnus renews the motion. A1 is adopted as amended. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? That's adopted. And Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not going to raise a point of order, but I would like to have the chair remind the committee that it is, I don't have the rule book with me, I don't have the citation, but I think it is against the rules to question the motives of a member. And a few minutes ago, I believe that my motives were questioned when it was stated that games were being played. And I've worked with the chair, I've worked with other people on this amendment, and I think that statement needs to be made about the rule.
We'll try and remember that, members. We're a friendly committee. Representative Finstead, friendly comments only.
Yes, I'm just thinking back to my daughter's going to be entering kindergarten, Mr. Chair, so everything we should operate under is the things that she's learning here in kindergarten. Treat people with respect, honesty, flush. Wash your hands after you flush. Those type of good things. So, thank you, Representative Hansen. A question on page 2, Mr. Chair, for you, I think.
Yep.
2.8 to 2.29, you presented this as a Solberg handoff from
yes.
Higher ed. My question is in regards to, and maybe this is just a common sense question, why in the heck are we appropriating $60,000 for a grant to Washington Center for Internships to send the Minnesota college student out of our state for a renewable energy internship when we're a leading state in the nation on it? That makes right. little sense to me.
Well, I know, apparently, I don't know Representative Finstead, I'm not sure. Obviously, there's a program there and a two-for-one match, and there's Minnesota kids that go out and hopefully come back with the knowledge on bio. But I don't know if there's a way to tweak that, and we can certainly talk to Representative Solberg about it, too, to tweak that so that it is a, you know, I don't know if we ever can intend where they work, or it is a Minnesota... Students enrolling in a Minnesota, it does say they have to enroll in a Minnesota four-year college in spring semester of 09, so I'm guessing this is just a temporary internship. They go out, they come back to the Minnesota school. That's kind of the way I'm reading it. Obviously, it was through higher ed, but now the grants are available from Federal Department of Agriculture, so we need to send it through our ag department, really, to match up is why it's here. But
so, Mr. Chair, I don't have an amendment to strike it. I just find it silly that we're sending kids to gain internship experience in renewable energy to Washington or wherever this is. You know, we're essentially saying we have one of the best states in the nation for renewable energy, but go study it someplace else. And maybe there's some value to that. I don't know. The second thing is, Mr. Chair, a question for you. Was this line item vetoed last year, this language?
This language was line item vetoed, I believe, and I'm just trying to think back conversation I had with Solberg. He said it was vetoed. But he has had subsequent conversations with the governor and or his office, and they realized it was a veto that they did not understand, and they would be supportive this year of the language, is what Representative Solberg told me, but we can certainly affirm that for you. It was a conversation I had with him a couple days ago, and short-term memory is not all.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I guess we can just let the record reflect. I think this is silly.
All right. That's what a kindergartner would say, too. Any other questions? Any other amendments? No? You want to do anything with ethanol members? Or was that Finstead?
Are we going to have a... This is a question on the entire bill, right, Mr. Chair?
Entire bill. We're on the entire bill. And anyone in the audience that wants comments on the entire bill, now is your opportunity, the fiscal bill.
Well, Mr. Chair, the question that I have then is, for the Department of Veterans Affairs, if someone could come up, and before you come up, maybe to know who to send, page 3, 3.28 to 3.32, it's a $3.5 million fiscal year 09 soldiers' assistance dollars. And I think it was said and even testified before that that's maybe more than what they need, but I'm just curious to see what is the actual need and what they plan on doing with any overage extra funds.
Sure.
I'd ask the department to come up, and I'll explain my understanding of it first, too. First of all, appropriation is available until spent, so no matter what year it is, out years, too, it's available till spent, so we won't lose that money, and it won't cancel back. I think that's important. And I know the department makes estimates every year, but I guess this committee would wonder, and I like this program. I think the committee likes it because it's money for the most part, although we're going to get a little report on your administrative fees behind this next year, but for the most part, goes right out to soldiers for or veterans for hearing aids or paying bills or whatever. And I think the more we can direct that money out to our constituencies that way in our counties, the better. But welcome to committee. Could you comment on the soldiers' assistance grants?
For the record, Christine Field, Department of Veterans Affairs, Representative Junkie, Chair Junkie, and members of the committee. The State Soldiers Assistance Program is right now running a projected deficit of $640,000. So we did come forward this year asking for more to cover that projected deficit. What we didn't anticipate last year when we came forward to ask for increased funding for this program was with the returning soldiers coming back from Iraq, they're definitely using the fund, but we're really seeing an outcry from the Vietnam veteran group. They are now connecting with these new soldiers returning and realizing these benefits are available for them too, so our dental program has just skyrocketed beyond what we had ever anticipated. But our projected deficit is $640,000.
Anything else, Representative Finstead, or does that answer? I mean, Representative Finstead, I know we don't want to put more money than we need, but again, I think our comfort is until canceled. And it's also one of those funds as we go forward, if we need to make adjustments to, you know, we can do that as we get negotiations with the Senate, is kind of setting up the bill that way, too, because obviously we're way above the Senate on that. So,
yeah, and Mr. Chair, my only question would be, I mean, you know, the supplemental budget versus a two-year budget. I mean, this is a gray area of are we trying to fill the projected $600,000 deficit, or are we trying to fix the program on into the next biennium? That would be my only question. I don't really have an answer to it. I mean, I appreciate what the fund is and what you're doing. I'm just trying to figure out what the right dollar amount is.
There'll be some of that, and again, as we get into the next biennial budget, obviously this money, if it isn't spent, will be available, and we'll look at it then, and everyone but you will probably look at it, and we'll miss you, Representative Finstead. We're also going to look at what it costs to administer this money, because we know there's quite a few FTEs associated with this too, and other things. So we're going to look at that next year too, not this year.
Have the answer.
You're okay this
year. Okay.
Don't answer anything you don't need to raise.
Okay. I like
Representative Olin.
Mr. Chairman, just to clarify, going back to that amendment, that amendment would specifically say in the Department of Ed, and there is such a thing as a groundwater monitoring activities they presently do.
No, that stays, you're right. The original Hansen Amendment stayed in the Department of Agriculture for
groundwater monitoring. To keep peace in the valley, I'll withdraw my objection to Mr. Hansen, my amendment, if he, Representative Hansen wants to make his again.
Okay, Representative Heigerkin.
Before we get carried away one way or another, just
too late.
No, we've got to have some clarification. Representative Junkie, Representative Finstead, Representative Peterson, Representative Magnus and Hamilton,
mm-hmm.
Members that were here when we went through the budget cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Representative Hansen, the Ag Department was whacked more than any other department.
Yeah.
Back in those days, they were whacked more than any. We never got those monies back. And again, as Mr. Stinson has stated, in the Finance Committee, Representative Junkie, you're on there, the one thing that's really driving, the one thing positive we have going for us right now is the ag sector within the state of Minnesota. And again, I think with a little bit of money that we're getting here, we need to protect it. And I'm sorry when I see bonding money going where it's going, when it should be going to WIF and some of those areas that clean up our groundwater. I'm fighting to keep $15 million in there, for God's sakes, and they want to whack that down to 10. I mean, you want to put the money where it really belongs. Don't take it out of the Ag Department. Start taking it out of some of the funds where you get $1 billion we're spending on hockey arenas and the gorillas, and that can go on and on and on. But you're not going to take it from maggot. This amendment should go to livestock.
Representative Olin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And my only comment on that is
I would love to have it in the livestock, but I also realize that I'm looking at well over this, and since there's going to be a big controversy on it, I'm not looking for a big controversy on something where I'm going to need several million more than the 300,000 that I have here.
And we are going to get, I hope, more TV money. I mean, we are. Representative Stolberg, frankly, is the one that, first of all, said 2 months ago when we came to session, said, we're going to do the TV stuff, whatever it takes. He told me that. He said, you can expect that money to come into your account. Again, the Olin and Skoy bill were just recently introduced, and we still don't know exactly the fiscal note on it, and we still don't know federal funds, and we're trying to work all that out with TB. So I don't think anyone should interpret that this committee is against TB in any way, shape, or form, and I don't think we are. Representative Hansen and Finstead.
Chairman Dunkey, I'd move the A5 amendment then, and just to respond to Representative Heidegger, and I know the cuts well because I was at the Ag Department when those cuts occurred. So I know where the hiring freezes and the travel restrictions, and I was implementing some of those. So I know what the impact was, and we couldn't go out and do some of the, you know, trips into your district to do the training. People had to travel further. You know, we don't want to go back to those days again. So Representative Olin, I commit to you to work to try to get increased TD funding if we can move this amendment on, and I think it provides support in the Ag Department for some needed things that will help out.
Representative Hansen, the only thing I'd ask you about your amendment that's been reoffered, Hansen reoffers the A5 amendment. We do want to still, this is only one time only at this point, right? Just to take care of this year? All right. So we also add line 1.9 that it's one time only. That was clarified last time, too. Members, I think it's a good idea to just put this on. Let's keep working. In fact, I got a note right here that there's maybe a meeting on TV if we can get out of here by noon that I can attend and look for some money. So I guess I'd like to move along if we could. Representative Heigerkin.
Okay, before we vote on, just a reminder of a mentality here. We have no money to help TB. Now we're going to take some money that we could be using. We're going to give it someplace else. I still have a problem with that.
All right, thank you. All those in favor of the A5... Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Heigerkin, I have an amendment that was being drafted to do that very thing that we talked about here a little bit earlier. And I have to echo what Representative Heigerkin's saying. You know, there's a lot of hopes and wishes, and we'll work together. Here's an opportunity to allocate money specifically for TB, which is a major issue. And I respect what Representative Hansen is trying to do here as well. There's a need there. He's pointing that. I respect that. But we have to realize the importance of this TB issue. And we should be turning over every rock to try to find the dollars to allocate this, or allocate towards the TB issue. And so I would offer up an amendment, then the Olin amendment to the amendment, and ask for a roll call to allocate this money towards TB.
How about Representative Hamilton and Representative Heigerkin and everyone else? How about we do both? We could take animal money in our livestock investment grant fund that we have here right now and put that down in this amount to TB. We could do both. That get us out of here. Take all the livestock investment money. That would cause then Erdahl will be down here in a minute. Representative Olin.
Mr. Chairman, it'd be fine with me if Representative Hamilton were to have introduced his amendment. Obviously, I'd have to go back on telling Representative Hansen because I can't vote against the line TV. He has to be aware of that.
Would you be willing to amend your amendment, Representative Hansen, and we'll get staff to appropriate $310,000 from the fund we have set aside for livestock investment grants, and then the $310,000 remains for increased groundwater monitoring? Then everyone gets a little bit. Find middle ground here.
Yes.
He will do that. Staff will make sure that amendment is in there the way that the committee intended it at the end. Any other questions? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A5 amendment as amended, please say aye. Aye. Opposed?
That amendment's adopted. Thank you, members. I appreciate that. Any other questions to the bill? Representative Finstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the question I had to the Department of Veterans Affairs, we talked about specifically that page 3, and this is to the Chair, I guess, Mr. Chair. How, very simply put, are the funds fluid between our accounts, the Department of Veterans Affairs? Let's say we were able to find savings in one area. Can it go to the Department of Ag? Can it go to the TV issue?
Yes. Representative Finstead, in this committee right now, and in the, hopefully as it travels forward in Carlson's, it's going to be a separate section. But yes, we can move from all of our accounts. We have 5 accounts in here, Board of Animal Health, Agriculture, Veterans. We can move from one account to the other here. We can't do that. Well, we might even be able to do that on the floor. But we can't move it from here to DNR or here to health care. But we can move within our account.
Well, to that, Mr. Chair, and Representative Owen, you might want to think about this. But I mean, if the department is saying that there is a projected $600,000 deficit for this supplemental budget that they need, you know, let's just say we give them $1 million in case it's more than that. There's $2.5 million extra dollars booked that we can then come back to, which I will not be, so you can come back next term and put into the base. So that might be another $2.5 million plus the $310,000 you just earned. That's 2.8, and before you know it, it's talking real dollars, and you're getting close to that amount. So as we move forward, work with the chair in the department. There's ways to do it. I think we just need to look and be creative and try to do it in a non-combative way.
Representative Olin.
Yes, and I'm not going to prolong this thing, but Mr. Chairman and Representative Finn said the goal on any kind of buyout is going to be to have this money available before the end of this year.
Right.
We're in a kind of a rush order if it were to happen.
All right. Good suggestion. Seeing no further questions, I'll renew my motion that House File 3981, as amended, be recommended to pass, and that committee staff make all necessary adjustments reflecting the will of the committee on that. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? That bill is passed and on its way to finance. Thank you, members. Now we'll take up the policy kind of slash little bit of finance slash little bit of everything else bill. I would move House File 3902, recommend it to pass, be sent to the Committee on Finance. And I would move the DE1 amendment, which was the bill we talked about yesterday to get the bill in the shape I would like it. Any questions to that? All in favor of the DE1 amendment, say aye. Aye. Opposed? We now have the bill in the right order. We're working off the DE1 amendment, and we have a series of amendments here that hopefully we can move through fairly quickly. And again, anyone in the audience has comments on this, amendments on the bill, just make sure you let staff know, and we're happy to take your comments. Who's got, let's see, start with the, how about the A1? And that, would I be, Shemansky, is that yours? That is.
Thank
Representative
you,
Shemansky offers the A1 amendment. Representative Shemansky, to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This one simply adds a provision in the allowable expenditures for charitable gambling proceeds from a veterans organization. And changes on page 2, line 2.12. A newsletter published periodically by veterans organizations for the purpose of providing news and information to members of the organization.
Okay. So basically it's kind of clarifying they can use their gambling proceeds to put newsletter information out to their members and others. This was a bill that Representative Shemansky had introduced too, and I know there's a number of members on it, so it's been identified as a problem in a number of our posts, and so I think this will clarify it. Any discussion or questions to the Shemansky Amendment? Seeing none, Representative Shemansky renews his motion that A1 be adopted. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? That amendment's adopted. Next we have, I'm just taking them in the order I got them here, A5. Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is some little bit more work or language on the pastures and development. Does some more defining raised blades, dairy cows returning. You can see it there. Watering systems, well installations, booster pumps, and stream crossing stabilizations. Talked to the chair and some others in the audience, and it seems like it lines it out a little bit more specifically. So I appreciate your
support. This is Representative Peterson's amendment to livestock investment grants. Remember, we do allow a pasture development in there, and in the Erdahl bill too, that we've looked at for years. This just basically explains what some of that development is. And again, my objection's always been seed and fertilizer and things that aren't really changing anything structurally. This actually is structural stuff, putting in water lines or wells or other things for your remote pasture locations. I think that was the intent of the bill. Some of this might already be applicable, but we're just clarifying that it can be done. Representative Heiger.
Thank you. I'll speak on behalf of that. I have, in fact, some of the new dairy farmers in my district are organic farmers. In fact, I have an organic creamery in Sauk Center that's in the processing milk. It's a growing industry, and it's, I think it will help them. So
I would expect some samples in the Heigerson refrigerator shortly. Any other questions to that? Seeing none, Peterson renews his motion that A5 amendment be adopted. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Amendment's adopted. A10, Representative Heigerton.
Thank you, Chair. And the A10 amendment, and after talking to the Department of Health, or Department of Ag, I am going to delete that amendment, but if you turn to page 14, we found better wordage. And it's going to, on page 14, on line 14.7, after the word use, add the following five words: by a wholesale food handler.
That's the amendment.
And that will take everything. And I'm worried about some of the small little organic and small little egg laying operations that are in my district. Those people that are still getting the eggs and selling the eggs, whether it be to whomever, it doesn't put them out of business because they don't have the most recent machines to test the eggs and degrade them, etc.
So it's a little different than the amendment because the word not is being stricken.
But it puts us in compliance with federal law.
Okay. So Representative is not offering the A10, rather he offers the oral amendment, which was part of the A10, but it's a little different. So everyone got that? Amendment on line 14.7 after the word use, insert by a wholesale food handler. Any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor of the Heigerken oral amendment say aye. Aye. Opposed? Amendment's adopted. The A11 amendment, the VHS, Representative Hansen offers the A11 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the A11 amendment, I've authored a bill on VHS restrictions that has been moving through the process. We've had testimony from some in the aquaculture industry concerned about capacity of testing, the ability to test for VHS and if there's an outbreak. And last summer I was on a tour, talked with DNR, Ag, some of the aquaculture folks. What this amendment does is having the commissioners of Ag, Health, and DNR, not giving anything to DNR, Representative Heidegger, but having them talk with each other so that we can look at building capacity for testing with the new facility that we have. And there are folks here from DNR, they can go like this on it, and Ag as well. But I think it's a way for the agencies to work together to try to have capacity in case this virus comes through.
Okay. Representative Heiger.
Thank you, and Representative Hansen, and I think it belongs here. Aquaculture, if you look by statute, belongs within the Department of Ag and not the Department of Environment. And I've always had issue with the bait dealers, et cetera. They should be coming to this committee because it's under the realm of the, by statute, under Department of Ag, but it does belong here and I support it.
Yep. I agree.
Yep.
Representative Doty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hansen, we already have all three of those commissioners on Board of Animal Health. Fish are animals. Would that be an appropriate place for this work group? That be an appropriate work group, maybe? Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, I had Ag and Health because of the building, and I believe that's where the, I could be wrong, but that's the responsibility of the laboratory. I'm fine with adding in Board of Animal Health. I just want them to work with each other and come up with a plan. So if you are, I mean, I could amend it to add in Board of Animal Health if you're interested.
Representative Doty, I think Health Department is where they do the testing.
Yeah, right, only sure. A suggestion because we have all three of those in the same place in that body.
Well, the Health Department's next door, so. All right. All those in favor of the A11 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Amendment's adopted. All right. We got the A6. Someone want to offer that? I'm looking at Mr. Dwight. He brought them all down. And
I'll offer it.
Okay. Representative Finstead offers the A6 amendment. Representative Finstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the, in regards to the Sailor Waste Egg Pesticide Collection bill, I believe. And essentially, as we've heard testimony on this from the department and from others, the question becomes deficit spending with the fund, who pays into this fund, how the disposals will be handled, liability reasons, liability questions, and then also just the overall responsibilities that this puts onto the commissioner and potential deficit spending. So my position on this is I know Representative Dempsey, you've reached out and said you're interested in some sort of compromise. I looked and I don't, there might be some compromise, but I thought to start this out, I'll offer the A6 and we'll see the mood of the committee and we'll go from there, but this would delete that portion of the bill that deals with the Sailor waste egg pesticide collection.
And just some comments, Representative Finn said, I respect your offer here, but I will report, I sat on there as a number of people probably in this room on the Waste Pesticide Task Force and department, had numerous meetings. This was basically, Sailor's bill was the will of that group, that basically what we're doing is going back to the way we used to collect before we ran into budget shortfalls a few years ago, which is kind of once a year in every county, making sure we're out collecting ag chemical. So from that standpoint, in my discussions with the department, they're fine with that. They can deliver it. I think your point maybe is not so much the program, but the money and the dollars, which we're concerned with, too. And I'd ask Mr. Reinholtz to explain his understanding, because he has done some checking on where we're at with dollars, both on the current account and if this amendment proceeds, or if this bill proceeds with that in it.
Mr. Chairman, members,
and use your mic if you would for us.
Mr. Chairman, members, that would be the pesticide regulatory account within the agriculture fund. And at the end of fiscal year 08, that account is estimated by the department to have $2.6 million worth of a balance. These numbers are from the February forecast. In the end of fiscal year 9, it has a $1.3 million balance. The fiscal note that has been prepared for the Sailor bill, they estimated an additional $600,000 in 09. And so that would still leave money in the account for 09. The account is currently projected to be in the deficit in 2011. The changes in the Sailor bill would put it into the deficit in 2010. And I should mention that the department this morning was preparing a new fiscal note on the Sailor bill, which is likely going to be increased somewhat. I'm not certain on the dollar amount.
And, Representative Finstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would ask at this time then if there's someone from the department, because the information that I have in front of me says that it'll be in deficit spending. The additional cost will lead to the PRA being in deficit in fiscal year 09. So is this maybe based off a new fiscal note, the information I have? I just want to get my arms around if we will have the money or not. And if it will promote a mandatory fee increase.
And I will tell you, I absolutely do not know myself, and I know they're still working on it, and
my chat with Mr. Martin this morning, and he can speak for himself, but I did advise them to get any language together if we need to make some adjustments to make sure we don't go in deficit until we put out our next omnibus bill, which we will be looking at adjusting amounts in all the ag accounts and understanding if the fees are paying for the services or not. But we didn't want to do any fee changes because we really want Representative Biskin's vote on this bill. So, but it doesn't mean we can't either. Either of you, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. My name is Joe Martin. I serve as Assistant Commissioner at the Minnesota Department of Ag. And thanks for the opportunity to comment a little bit on the language. And I guess to start by saying is, you know, we participated in the task force, in the meetings, and yes, it was the will of the task force to provide this additional collection. And by no means are we here to say that, you know, we oppose those efforts. The question really for the committee is, as the bill's drafted, it's really an open-ended expenditure. And we, out of that testified regulatory account, we fund a lot of services. So there's a potential, if we have this open-ended expenditure for collecting waste pesticides for households and ag pesticides, that there's a distinct possibility that the account could go into the red very, very soon, and we'll be left with some tough choices of cutting other pesticide-related activities. So if I could potentially give a suggestion to the committee that it'd be nice to have some safety valve in the language, that if we do approach that situation before the committee potentially could find additional sources of revenue, that you provide the department that flexibility.
Representative Finstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Assistant Commissioner Martin, have you had a chance to look at the A6 amendment?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Simpson, I'm sorry, I have not.
Okay. I guess my question is then, Mr. Chair, and maybe to Assistant Commissioner Martin, if we put some sort of language in there to give the commissioner the ability to temporarily terminate any expenditures based on deficit spending, and have the commissioner have a little bit more flexibility to watch the account and watch the spending and the revenue side of things. Is that some sort of what you're trying to get at as far as some discrepancy with the commissioner's office?
Mr. Martin? Mr. Chairman, Representative Finn said yes, that would be an acceptable compromise to it.
And members, I know Representative Finn and I looked at some language here that, again, the department's trying to put cobble together here. And my suggestion would be we leave it as is right now. I will commit, Representative Finn said, that I will offer it as an author's amendment tomorrow in finance, and let staff and the department work up that language so it's in good order, good form. That's all right, the department too. I commit to do that. I don't think that's a problem.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, as you well know, once it leaves the doors of this committee, the ag votes and the friendly people are less and less to what we're doing.
I will do it as an author, or if you want to read it into the record, we don't have copies right now, or we can get it copied. I don't know exactly the line and page. That's the problem I'm having right now with it. It's not exactly there, but I will do it as an author's amendment. Get the bill in the shape I want. I'm confident I can accomplish that.
Well, Mr. Chair, at this point, then, I think if what I'm hearing is right, I can withdraw the A6 with the intent that the department, myself and you, can work on some language to maybe compromise this thing out and give the commissioner more discrepancy as far as
Mr. spending. Sullivan would develop that language, get it down to both Representative Finstead and I this afternoon sometime. We can look at it and be ready for tomorrow in finance. Representative Finstead withdraws the A6 at this point. The A8 amendment. Who wants that one? Finstead, you going to do that one too? Representative Finstead. This is Finstead's favorite amendment. It offers the A8 amendment to your amendment. What? Representative Tremba. To the amendment or before the amendment?
Before the
amendment.
Okay,
right before the amendment. Representative
Chair, we all have fiscal notes, and sometimes we know that those fiscal notes look good or bad, and I am always concerned about that when we take that into consideration in working out that.
Right. and Representative Tremont to the committee, my intent, or I think Representative Stead's intent, is to just simply say, we're trusting the original fiscal is probably right, and we can get through 2010, which is when we'll be back here making those adjustments. But let's say they run out of money December 30th, and now they have no way to pay for the collections in January, February, March, or whatever, till we get our bill out. It's just saying they can temporarily suspend until we get more money into their account. And so it's just a safety valve. But I agree with you. The fiscal notes go all over the board, and it's hard to predict, even for the department, in fairness to them, that, you know, fiscal notes can be written any way you want.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think that we have had that similar thing with the Brainerd mental health piece, and so I just am a warning.
Everyone's always wary, Representative Tremba. That's a good point. All right, the 8 amendment's been offered by Representative Finstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sure you're all excited to hear this amendment. This will delete the animal chiropractic drastic expansion of scope of practice, which is in this bill. I see a lot of problems, as I've, you know, well pointed out to a lot of you and to the committee. I would just have a couple questions, and I found, as I was putting this amendment together and thinking about this, I was thinking about, you know, the biosecurity issues and the future implications. The question for Representative Hamilton, PERS, when I worked in the hog industry day in, day out, PERS was the big issue. What's the recent disease in the hog industry, the swine industry, that you've had to deal with?
Representative Hamilton, name a disease.
Well, I would say that PERS is still there. It's still a challenge, a circle virus, although the efficacy of the vaccine for the circle virus seems to be far superior. So PERS is still an issue,
Representative.
Mr. Chair, I asked the question of a veterinarian if a pot-belly pig could carry PERS, and the answer is yes. So as we look at the state and as the swine industry, a leader in the nation in a lot of different areas, we have to ask ourselves, are we willing to take some risks on the biosecurity front? And I don't want to sound kooky and black helicopters, but the answer is, I mean, if you bring in a pot-bellied pig in that potentially would have PERS into an office or into a space, that disease can be transmitted, and now we're talking about a biosecurity potential outbreak. So that's just one of many concerns. And if I could have a chance for, drawing a blank. Dr. Hagerty to come down.
Dr. H.
There you go, Dr. H. I just want him to maybe address for maybe a, well, I will guarantee a more scientific view from us as far as disease spreading, disease management, what potential causes or effects that this bill could have as far as biosecurity issues.
Dr. Hagerty, welcome to committee. Representative Finstead, like a comment on that?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, and Representative Finstead, I'm Tom Hagerty, a veterinarian representing the Minnesota Veterinary Medical Association. There are a number of diseases that are biosecurity diseases, and certainly spread, especially of animal diseases, is not unheard of. PERS is a good example, but there are many, many others that affect all animals, such as distemper in dogs, for example, that could be carried and could be spread. And that's the reason to have the veterinary involvement, is to make sure we're not dealing with some disease process before we're looking at whatever else. Veterinarians are trained, taking 4 years to get trained to identify animal diseases, and we're concerned that this may not be being considered in this time.
And just so I'm clear, Representative Finstead and Dr. Hagerty, I'm thinking back to the discussion, maybe Representative Tremba can help out. I know Representative Cohen was the author, he's not here, but the bill as it sits now only allows veterinary chiropractic care in an animal that's already been treated by a veterinarian, and then notification to that vet subsequently if they go into the chiropractor first time, second time, third time. But it has to be an animal that's been treated once. As far as this bill goes, if I remember right, the testimony, I don't know if Representative Tremba or Dr. Hagerty, maybe you can confirm that. I know you know what's in this bill, too.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, the concern we have with that is it doesn't say how recently a veterinarian should have examined the animal. For example, a one-time exam might have been months or years ago. I'm not sure. We think that exam needs to be relatively recent, so that at least we're convinced this animal does not have some serious disease.
And what would relatively recent be?
I would think, Mr. Chairman, I would think something like within 30 days, 60 at the outset.
Any other questions to the amendment? Representative Stinstead renews his motion that...
Mr. Chair, can I get a roll call?
Roll call has been requested. Clerk will take the roll on the A8 amendment.
Chunky?
No.
Welty?
Yes.
Doty?
No.
Spouse?
No.
Stinstead?
Yes.
Hansen?
No.
Hamilton?
Yes.
Heinrichsen? Magnus?
Yes.
Olin?
No.
Otremba?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Poppy?
Yes.
Szymanski?
Yes.
Heinrichsen?
Reading 6 ayes, 7 nays, the amendment is not adopted. By the way, this is all done electronically, just for your information. I don't know if that's a good way or not yet. We're exploring that, but that's why it took a little longer. Mr. Chapman, another amendment.
I have an oral amendment.
Oral amendment.
Do that now?
Sure.
I know Representative Heidgerken's not here at the moment, but the department...
Is that good or bad?
We're talking about eggs here, and I can pretty well bet I've picked more eggs than anybody here in the committee, but anyway, at least I have 5,000 chickens, so I've picked a hell of a lot of eggs. Can I say that in tape?
You did.
Okay. Anyway, on page, line 14.14, strike the word retail, and then after the word sale, the next word, add the language by a retail food handler. I'll repeat that again. On line 14.14, strike the word retail, and then after sale, add the word by a retail food handler.
Okay. Representative Magnus offers that oral amendment. Any questions or comments, department? Okay, they're all right with it. Department gave that to them. All right. So the... For the Magnus oral amendment, Representative Otremba.
Could you repeat that?
The amendment is on line 14.14, and you'll strike the word retail, so it'll read now, eggs offered for sale by a retail food handler must be held at a temperature, etc. Representative Heidgerken, we're amending your food hand. Representative Magnus has an amendment to your egg stuff.
Gee.
What are you doing?
I could have used you a couple minutes ago.
On line 14.14, he's striking the word retail and saying eggs offered for sale by a retail food handler.
Yeah.
That's all right? Okay. Representative Heidgerken likes it. Representative Otremba?
Well, actually, Mr. Chair, I was waiting for Heidgerken to come to make sure that he was okay.
All right. The Otremba Heidgerken team was on board. Representative Hamilton?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for Representative Magnus. How many eggs did you handle again? About 4,000 a day.
Thank you for that information. All right. To the Magnus oral amendment, all those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? Amendment's adopted. A7 amendment. Is that yours too, Representative Finstead?
Sure, I'll take it.
That's the Gardner fertilizer bill.
Yep. Mr. Chair, members, this is the deleting the Gardner section of the retail signage portion of the pesticide language. When I look at this, to me it seems like it's an unfunded mandate on the retailer, on the business. You know, we have laws and regulations in place And if education is the goal of this bill, I think we need to approach it a different way versus mandating to the retailer to put signage up. So I would ask for your support, and I'd ask for a roll call.
Representative Finstead, two comments. Number one, I don't have a problem taking this out at all because on the floor it was re-referred to Commerce the other day, yeah, and they're going to want to see this bill if it goes forward. But number two, I'd just be cautious as we see it come back. We worked on it to make sure it was only the metro area, so hopefully Commerce doesn't put it back to the whole state and mess with our people out there, but we can have that fight on the floor. So I don't have a problem taking this out because I don't really want to go to Commerce either. And Gardner didn't tell me that was a bad thing. So Representative Faust.
I withdraw my roll call.
Okay. He's just withdrawing the roll call. Representative Faust.
Thank you. My question is, the way I understand this is that all of Section 5 goes out, and I agree with you on the letter, on the signage part. I can go along with that. But my problem is that it is taking out the bottom part of Section 5, which is limiting as to where phosphorus can be applied on lawns, which I think is a good thing.
Well, Representative Faust, that's just the signage, what it says. We've already got that in statute. So that's already Minnesota law. They're just repeating it on a sign is all that does. So I support this amendment, members. All those in favor of the A7 amendment, say aye. Aye. Opposed. Amendment adopted. I have one more in my packet. It's A9 amendment. Representative Finstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the Mullery Vets Mental Health portion, and I don't, these guys having a coffee talk over here or what?
I don't know.
It's an important amendment, ground shattering amendment.
And I do have Representative Finstead, we have a testifier coming up that can testify because we haven't heard it, so I think it's fair.
Yeah. Why I wanted to do this, Mr. Chair.
Well, he just walked by, he was coming up. Oh, someone else is. Come on up. Talk to us about what this amendment does and where it's been and who's done it and why they did it.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee. One moment.
And introduce yourself.
My name is Brock Hunter. I am the legislative chair for the Minnesota Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers. I'm also a veteran and an attorney in private practice here in Minnesota. The bill that you're looking at is the product of over a year of work. In my practice, it's become very apparent to me that a number of veterans are returning from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan with post-traumatic stress disorder and other mental health concerns. And as you are all probably aware, the mental health community has recognized post-traumatic stress disorder formally now. The VA and the military are offering more treatment options than ever before. Unfortunately, a lot of the veterans who need help are not getting it. They're either not admitting to themselves or others that they have a problem, or even if they acknowledge a problem, they're feeling that they should be able to handle this on their own. And a lot of them are self-medicating with alcohol. A lot of these veterans are first appearing in the public realm in criminal court, having been charged with some type of criminal offense that often relates to their mental health concerns. And what we're finding is that the courts are operating in the dark here. A lot of times they don't understand the nature of combat PTSD, or even if they do, they're not aware of the treatment options that are available through the VA system. What this bill does is it opens up a line of communications between the courts and the VA. And what it says is that if a veteran has been convicted of a crime in criminal court and they have had a diagnosis of a mental illness, the court can order staff as part of the pre-sentence investigation process to make contact with the VA and other related agencies to determine what treatment options are available for that veteran. And that then a report is prepared for the court as part of the pre-sentence investigation process that outlines those options to the judge so that they can be taken into consideration in determining the appropriate sentence. This does not mandate the courts to do anything. It just makes that information available to the courts to take them into account. We have broad support for this bill. We worked over the last year with a number of different interested groups, including the Minnesota Veterans Affairs, Department of Veterans Affairs, the Federal VA, the County Attorneys Association, the Hennepin County Attorney's Office specifically. All are on board with the language of this bill. The fiscal issues, as you all are all aware, financial issues are paramount this session, and we've worked hard to strip the provisions off of the original language of the bill that would have required a fiscal note. The bill in its current form does not require a fiscal note. Training for the court staff that will do these pre-sentence investigations and have contact with the VA will be conducted by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs under their own existing training budget. So there is not a financial fiscal note attached to this bill, and we still feel that it would be effective to do what we want to do.
We got it. And again, I'll remind members, this was heard in Mulry's committee and passed. It's on the calendar now. They just asked us to put it in here to hopefully move it along, and it's not a separate thing we can do. It does relate to veterans. So the one attorney on the committee, Representative Olin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And as a prosecutor who would be on the other side from these guys usually, and Mr. Rastin enough times in other committees, I'm in full agreement with this bill.
So again, I think it's a benign bill at this point, and we're just carrying it out. And obviously, if we lose it somewhere along the line, it's still on the general calendar. But Representative Heigerson.
Thank you, and I want to thank for you for bringing this forth, because I know I've been to a couple of Beyond the Yellow Ribbon reintegration meetings. Representative Junkie and I spent a day at Wilmer. Remember the cases that one after another, they came up with cases similar to this. So I want to thank you for doing this. This is very, very helpful.
Representative Finstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to put this on the record, this is on the General Register. And the reason I brought the amendment is simply because this was, as I looked through the bill, this was something we hadn't really heard, didn't quite understand, and I would have a lot of questions still, and I don't know if now's the time to have them or if I'm just going to take the heat of the look around the table and see where everyone's head is nodding, a lot of smiles, people looking at getting out of here. I guess as we move forward, I would just say try to get us some more information on this committee, because if this is in the bill and we're asked to defend this bill in another committee or on the floor, it would be important for us to completely understand this. I mean, for instance, defendant convicted of a crime, does the court ask if they're involved in any other things? You know, what are the questions that they ask? And I don't want you to answer it now, but as you brief us on this, you know, and maybe Junkie has been, but as you brief myself on this, I'd like to know the history of this and, you know, sell me on it, why it's a good thing, and we'll move forward. But this is on the General Register already. I understand that you guys are loading up a lot of vehicles. But
and we would ask you to go to Representative Finch's office or anyone else that has a request for this and visit with them. But certainly if this does survive and get to the floor with it, no one's going to defend this but Mulry, in my mind, and Olin now. But Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a question about the confidentiality of the records, and I guess digging a little deeper, maybe it's Representative Finch's questions too, but if a veteran, I mean, I'm not sure how benign this is. I guess potentially it could be, there could be more to it for the veteran that they want to be protecting. Is it just to say that there are services available, or is it actually dealing with the particular veteran and what they've received or what their situation is?
Certainly, it's a good question, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. The way that the bill is drafted, this is a permissive thing for the court to do, and we would anticipate that it would be something that would only be done if the veteran, him or herself, wishes to have this matter, this information taken into account in conjunction with their sentence. So it's not something that's going to be forced upon a veteran. It's not going to be an inquiry into records that the veteran does not want to have disclosed. In my experience, most veterans with legitimate PTSD who find themselves in trouble with a criminal court, if they've in the past been reluctant to admit that they have a problem with PTSD, often that criminal charge changes their mind. And more often than not, they come around to seeing that they probably do need some help and that they would like the court to take that into consideration in determining the appropriate sentence.
Representative,
thank you, Mr. Chairman. I look forward to you getting Representative Mulry's vote on your bill, and I will withdraw my amendment.
Okay. A9, withdrawn. Members, I have one more amendment, and I think we're done. I'm going to read it. If you're uncomfortable with that, we can wait and go get it copied. But basically, here's what it does. I'll tell you about it first, then I'll move it. In the hemp section, which what page are we on here? 37. I think it's okay, but we want to make a little change. The way it reads now, it basically asks the agriculture to develop some of this stuff. There's no new reason to develop or evaluate hemp or laws until the DEA. And then we want them to do it after that fact. So there's no sense in doing that now. The DEA might not legalize this ever, or 10 years from now, or 5 years, or 2 months from now. We don't know. So basically what my amendment's going to do is a couple things. I'm also going to, AURI is our value-added group. So we're going to add them as the group that will develop the potential for hemp. The Department of Ag really doesn't do that. They would have to consult with AURI or someone too. So I would move to amend as follows, and you won't be able to write this down, so hopefully you're comfortable with this, and we'll put it in the record, but if you're not, we can go get it copied. Page 37, line 25, after A, we're going to insert the Agriculture Utilization Research Institute in consultation with the Department of Agriculture. So that'll put them in play with the department. Page 37, line 26, we're going to delete everything after the period. Page 37, delete lines 27 and 28. They're gone. Page 37, line 29, delete everything before commercial. And then page 37, line 32, after the period, we're going to insert the statement, at which time the commissioner shall evaluate industrial hemp laws in other states and propose a system of licensure and regulation that does not interfere with the strict regulation of a controlled substance in this state. So basically, what we've done is said, AURI, once this is done, AURI will develop the hemp processes, and after DEA approves, then the department should develop licensure, but not until then. So there's really no fiscal cost at that point. We were worried maybe a fiscal note would come up on that. So that's acceptable, members. Representative Tremba.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I thought that a lot of that was in that bill already. We were just waiting for North Dakota to...
Yeah, and Representative Tremba, it was. This is a little different than the bill. It's pretty close to it. It's language that was developed. Basically, what we're saying is you don't have to develop licensures. The department doesn't have to develop a way to license and get people ready to go with this until the DEA. And what Representative Kahn's done, by the way, is not... In the past, Representative Finn Seth, not to be confused with Finn Stead, when he was running the committee, we passed this bill, and at that time the form of hemp was that we would do what North Dakota is doing. We'd actually petition the feds for a permit to grow hemp in Minnesota. Well, Representative Kahn now has acquiesced to that and said, okay, we won't do anything. We'll let North Dakota do it. We'll let anyone else do it. We'll just say if and when the DEA approves industrial hemp, then we do the licensure and do it. So it doesn't cost us any money. We're not using our AG's office. We're not doing anything other than just waiting for approval from the feds. And then we can go ahead. We don't have to revisit this at that time. So, any other questions to that? I'll move this oral amendment. We'll put it in the record. It'll be in the minutes. And staff has it, obviously. So I renew my motion for the oral amendment to Section 34. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? That amendment's adopted. That's all I have, members. Any comments to the bill by anyone or anyone in the audience? Otherwise, this will be headed to finance probably tomorrow, members, and hopefully on the floor after that. And I really appreciate, again, all the members' work on this. It's not a big a bill, but it's a bill that we all worked on over the session, and hopefully we can all defend it on the floor when we get there as a group. And I think it does a lot of interesting things. So I also thank the staff. I thank people in the audience who have tracked these issues for a number of months. We appreciate you being here, and nothing's done till it's done. We're here till May 19th probably, so stay tuned. All right, I renew my motion that the House File 3902 as amended and be recommended to pass, and that staff be instructed to correct the bill to reflect committee will and desire. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? Nay. Bill is adopted. Thank you, members. Meeting is adjourned.